Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast for product managers, developers, and innovators. Your host is Chad McAllister, who gives you innovation training your customers will love you for. Get ready to take your career to the next level, for the doctor is in.
Hi, this is Chad, your host. Each week, I use these podcasts to share valuable information with product managers and innovators so that you can excel in your career. I so appreciate you listening and improving your knowledge. That is what this is all about. I also provide training that helps product managers become product masters, and I explain what that really means in my free Product Mastery Roadmap. You'll find the roadmap at the same place where you'll find the show notes for this episode, and that is theeverydayinnovator.com/094. Now, I've had some requests from listeners to explore product roadmaps, so I went and found Jim Simic. He's the co-founder of Product Plan, which creates roadmap software for product teams. Jim has helped launch new products generating hundreds of millions in revenue, including being part of the founding team at AppFolio for property management, also responsible for requirements in the launch of GoToMyPC and GoToMeeting, and also spending some time at Microsoft as well as a few other places. Now, in the interview, we discuss the purpose of a product roadmap, various ways roadmaps can look, how roadmaps help product teams and organizations, and also the best practices for constructing product roadmaps. Here's the interview. Jim, thanks so much for joining the Everyday Innovators and talking about product roadmapping.
Yeah, thank you, Chad. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and just to set the stage, you're with a company that provides roadmapping solutions. Can you just tell listeners, we'll talk more about details of that, but who are you with? You've got a lot of credibility in the space. I just want listeners to understand what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm co-founder of a company called Product Plan. Mm-hmm. We provide product roadmap software for businesses all over the world, a variety of companies, including Nike, Expedia, Tommy Hilfiger, and others use our software to communicate their product strategy, what they're going to be building, both internally and externally. And most of the software presentations that they provide using our software are to their executive stakeholders.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So good experience working with lots of different kinds of organizations in roadmapping, product roadmapping. Why don't we get grounded a little bit with just, you know, the purpose of a roadmap? What kind of problem is creating a roadmap trying to solve?
Absolutely. A product roadmap is used by most companies to communicate what they'll be building over the near term and possibly over the long term. Mm-hmm. The product roadmap is usually a document that shows the strategy, the why behind what they're building. Hmm. And a lot of companies feel that the product roadmap is simply the backlog. But in our world, that's not really the best way to communicate the strategy. Simply listing out a lot of features in list format really isn't the product roadmap. The product roadmap needs to tie back to the strategy. And so a good product roadmap is usually a visual document, something that communicates the why behind what you're doing.
Okay. And so it's a visual sort of tool. And by the way, when you see me looking away, it's because I'm taking notes because this is really important information. And for the Everyday Innovators, I take all the notes for you. You'll find that, of course, on the everydayinnovator.com/094 for this episode. So it's a visual tool. Describe what roadmaps typically look like, because I'm sure some people listening know all about this, have seen it, but others, I'm sure this is new to them. So how should we picture in our minds what a roadmap looks like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And roadmaps can take on different styles. It really depends on the type of company that you have, the type of product that you have, where it is in its life cycle. Some startups, for example, use a Kanban style roadmap, which is simply putting what you're going to be building into certain buckets, what we have planned, what we have approved, what's in development, and then what's been delivered. That's a very typical style for something that is for a smaller organization or maybe a new product. Mm-hmm. The more traditional product roadmap looks something like a Gantt chart, which is a timeline style roadmap where you communicate what you're going to be building, and every one of those items has a typical start and end date. And for those that are listening on productplan.com, we have actually 9 different style examples that you can go look at. It's productplan.com/templates. And you can look at that and get a feel for what a typical roadmap might look like for an IT organization, for a product organization with multiple products. And it really just depends on the portfolio that you have, the type of company that you have. Most of the time, these product roadmaps have a longer term horizon, for example, 12 months. 12 months is a very typical time frame for showing what you're going to be building. But there are some caveats behind that, because in so many organizations, they're moving to more of an agile development process. And with that, there's a certain amount of uncertainty about what you're going to be building over the long term. And so from a product manager's perspective, you know, showing something over 12 months, it's a double-edged sword. On one hand, you want to communicate where you're headed, and executive stakeholders really do need to know what's happening, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 quarters out. But on the other hand, things tend to change.
Right.
Competitors come on the scene. You know, new competitors release different features. You know, the market and the underlying technologies that you have available to you are changing. And then, of course, product managers are engaged with their customers, and that tends to change the priorities over time. And so the roadmaps typically are we recommend you do are usually up to 12 months. But then the items that are a little bit further out need to be, in a sense, kind of fuzzier.
Right.
You need to be able to communicate to the executives that this is likely to change and to be, for them to be okay with that. So that as part of the product manager's role is to communicate that things will change.
Are there, so that's certainly part of that communication for the product manager. But I also know, you know, when a piece of paper, whether it's electronic and floats around on the network of a company, it's in the cloud accessing it, or it's physical and it's around on desks, when people see that thing, they tend to think, oh, that's what we're doing in 12 months, right?
Yeah.
So the communication is on the, you know, is required by the product manager to make sure that's clear. But are there also mechanisms to put in place on the roadmap itself so that when they see that piece of paper lying around, there isn't the likelihood that they might say, oh, we're definitely in 8 months doing these set of features, right? And somehow convey there's some fuzziness to this plan?
Yeah, absolutely. And it also depends on the audience that you're communicating to. So what we suggest is that let's say, for example, the audience is the engineering team and you need to communicate what's happening. Well, if for a lot of those, the engineers and the engineering leadership, they may not need to know what's happening 6 or 12 months out, right? The executive leadership probably does. And so with the product roadmap, you can kind of scale down how much of the roadmap you're showing depending on the audience. And the other mechanism that is useful is to actually not show dates. So if you're communicating with sales leadership, for example, I think that it's a lot of product managers I've spoken with have actually taken off the dates because sales folks tend to commit to potential customers when something's happening, and we know how that turns out. And so using a product like Product Plan, which is a web-based product roadmap tool, you can communicate the live roadmap. So as the roadmap changes, as the product manager changes, all of those views of the roadmap get automatically updated. So the stakeholders are really on the same page with what's happening. And so you can, with a product like Product Plan, you can spin out different views of the roadmap to sales, for example, that doesn't include dates. And so that makes it, you know, less likely that sales is going to print out and staple that roadmap to the contract.
That never happens.
Yeah, exactly. We've never seen that happen.
No. And I think that's one of the fears of product managers is, you know, putting, wow, did you see that my video just jumped in?
I did.
But right now you're looking at just my eyes. So listeners don't care about this, but for the sake of Jim and doing the interview, give me just a moment, everyone, to fix this and we'll see if we can or not. I'm still here. Don't go away, anyone.
And now we're good again.
Magic. Power of technology. We'll just move on. This will be just fine. Thanks for your patience. So we're talking about the different kinds of views, and I think one of the concerns that product managers have is, you know, once you write down the plan, it can get misinterpreted, they're held accountable for it. We understand as product managers, lots of things can change. Priorities can shift, especially if we're in an agile environment. We might be, like you said, some people think of the product roadmap just as their backlog. And after we get done with this sprint, you know, the direction, the theme for the next one might be different than we had anticipated now.
Right.
And I like a benefit that you brought up of having this in a collaborative manner. Like I don't know if your tool's on the cloud, you know, SaaS type solution, but
it is.
You know, my experience is we might use, you know, I come from a project management sort of role. So I actually do use Microsoft Project to build a Gantt chart looking thing as a roadmap, right? That's been my tool of choice. A lot of people use Excel or PowerPoint sort of things. Uh-huh. And you do end up with versions floating around because you send them by email and other mechanisms that are static and they don't change and people get out of sync with what is the newest one.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I can see that being a big problem.
And that's one of the key problems that when we first started interviewing product managers to determine what the product should be, that was one of the key problems that they brought up, is that you have a PowerPoint presentation from 2 quarters ago floating around, and people are still relying on that as that truth of what's happening. And that causes... it causes challenges, especially if somebody's relying on that, such as the marketing department, to plan their own strategy. And so that's the benefit of a living roadmap, both in terms of that it changes all the time, but also in the medium that it's in, this, you know, web-based format. Mm-hmm. And one of the other advantages of a web-based format or a kind of that living format is that your stakeholders can get self-service access to the roadmap. And that's something that we didn't really plan on. And then we started hearing this as a potential benefit. And now that's something that our customers really appreciate, is the ability to give their stakeholders self-service access and not be the sole contact point for the roadmap, you know, which eats up time. And
product managers love hearing that, right? So because we get requests from like the sales team that says, you know, what is your roadmap for the next 90 days? When's this feature going to hit?
Right.
This would be a good tool. Okay. Yep. So I want to talk more about your solution later for sure. On the concept of the roadmap itself, how does it help product teams just work better? Before, you mentioned that it's a way to connect to strategy. I want to explore that a little bit and just what you've seen in terms of improving the collaboration of product teams.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of areas. One is the initial discussion about the priorities. Most product teams use some sort of mechanism to either come up with a score or some way of prioritizing, some way of guiding that discussion. Some of them do it ad hoc. They just have that conversation about customer value, mm-hmm. and then they have the maybe t-shirt sizing on effort level, and then they kind of do that, you know, that sort of weighting. And so I think that the benefit of having a product roadmap and then also a mechanism to prioritize what gets on the product roadmap is that you're having the conversation to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the challenges of product management is that you're seen as the one with the answers, right? And I'm sure we've known situations where the product manager goes into the office, shuts the door, and then magically comes out again with the plan,
right?
And you know, that may or may not be the right thing to do. And unfortunately, what happens is that in that case, even if it's a couple of people just deciding like the truth of what we need to be building, other people interpret that as the right thing to do, and then they begin marching to that truth, right? And so the benefit of having whatever tool you're using, of having an actual document where you discuss priorities, mm-hmm. you have some sort of a mechanism for having that conversation about what the priorities are, you see it on the document, and then you can have discussions about trade-offs. Well, if we're doing this and we're allocating resources for that big thing, it means that we won't be able to do this. Or we've decided that these are the four initiatives that we're going to be tackling this year, the four themes that we're going to be tackling, the four strategic themes. Well, how do all of these initiatives fit into that? And so I think the benefit is that you're having a conversation with the product team, with the executive stakeholders, and it really should be this ongoing discussion that happens with everyone, so that by the time you're done with that you know, that final, you know, quote unquote, final product roadmap, everyone's on the same page and they understand how you got there. And so if you're operating in an environment where there's not that sort of document or that sort of process, then, you know, the right hand sometimes doesn't know what the left hand's doing, and then people are marching to different drummers, and you don't really have people on the same page. So that's really, to me, the benefit of having some sort of a document or a tool that gives you the product roadmap is that discussion that happens.
Yeah, and like so many of the things we do in product management, it sounds like the planning piece is the real value, right? So we end up with a planned form of the roadmap. But as we've said, the roadmap itself is somewhat in flux because there's all these external factors going on and we can only see that so far. But the planning process itself and creating that collaboration, having discussions over what is important is helpful. And you mentioned themes. So I've heard of different ways to organize product roadmaps.
Sure.
One is using themes. Talk through that a little bit about what a theme would be or how roadmaps might get organized.
Yeah, absolutely. So for a lot of organizations, the roadmap might be simply this list of features, and that list of features doesn't really give you context, the why behind what you're doing.
Right.
And so what you want to do is come up with strategic themes that tie back to the strategy. So, for example, if you're an e-commerce platform, an e-commerce provider, you might have as one of your themes that you want more people to follow through with the purchase. You want more people to follow through with their shopping cart.
Right.
And so to make that happen, there might be a dozen different things that you're going to do with your product. You know, optimizations, introducing maybe new credit card payment methods, maybe, you know, those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the benefit of having a theme around that, which is, you know, improve the customer shopping cart completion success rate. That might be a theme. The benefit of that is that you can communicate that effectively to stakeholders,
right?
Without going through the nitty gritty of all the different features that you're going to be covering. And then it also gives the product manager some flexibility. So everyone can agree that we want to improve shopping cart completion. Everybody's on board with that. Well, there are a dozen or maybe 100 things that you could do with that. But as you get into it, as you get into the details and the estimations and discussions with customers and, you know, all of these things that happen, well, you're going to have to do some prioritization. You're going to have to do some trade-offs. And if you've already presented those list of 100 things to your, you know, your stakeholders, there's a certain expectation that that's going to happen. Right, people are going to glom onto one particular item that's their pet project, and so it does a couple of things. One is that it brings up the product roadmap to more of a strategic level, where you're communicating to the executives in a way that they'll understand and they can buy off on, and it also gives the product manager some flexibility so they can move things in and out of that strategic theme as needed.
Yeah, that makes good sense. And when you're listing the individual items, there's probably more assumptions that people make about those too, right? Because we see, you know, someone in sales might see a feature, someone in marketing sees another one, someone in engineering. We all tend to make assumptions about what that actually means.
Mm-hmm.
The theme gives us something to really drive towards. And I think another benefit of the themes is just the momentum and excitement it creates for the product team. Because I would get really bored, you know, if I have 12 features I'm supposed to implement over the course of the next year, and I do, you know, one kind of piecemeal at a time, and they don't really come together in any concrete thing. That's very different than saying, you know, this month we're all about increasing our cart success rate, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Everyone's on the same page.
Exactly. And as a product manager, that's what I get excited about. Yeah. I get excited about delivering value to customers where their life is somehow improved because of what I'm doing. And if you're delivering these little piecemeal features and some are related and some aren't, then you don't get that same sense of satisfaction.
Right. And if organizational strategy is said, you know, this year we really want to increase our customer acquisition rate, or we really want to increase the number of sales per customer, right? And now this gives you a way to connect that strategy, those strategy objectives to specific themes inside the roadmap.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I like how this is coming together.
Yeah.
What are some of the other best practices for creating roadmaps? You know, themes sound like a big one to kind of adopt. I was surprised earlier when you said there were 9 different examples you have on your website, and I will make it easy for everyday innovators to find those. I'll put the list in the show notes. So there's probably lots of best practices around different kinds of things you can do. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the things that you run into, maybe even just from the start of, you know, getting the product team working together better and how they're thinking about this?
Yeah, we've run webinars and engaged with product managers, and one consistent challenge that they come up with is that my strategy tends to change a lot. And I'm, you know, every quarter, there's some new strategy that's dictated to me. And so what we advocate is thinking first about the product vision. And it's really important that the product managers, if there's not a vision for the product, that there is a vision. Mm-hmm. In many cases, the vision's been handed down from the founder, over time. And this vision is this really long-term, sometimes multi-year objective for where you see the product going. It's not there yet, but it's this longer-term horizon of what you want the product to accomplish. It can be, revolutionizing the vertical market that you're in, that sort of thing. And then from there, you get your strategies, right? So from that vision, you get these strategies. And the strategies can be, longer term goals that you have. They're often a year long, maybe a couple of years long. And there's the long term objectives like, increasing customers' success rate or, improving customer satisfaction or improving growth or expanding into new geographies, or those are sort of the bigger strategies that a company might have. And then from a roadmap perspective, it's really important to tie back those strategies that you get from the vision onto the roadmap. And so one of the best practices that we've seen that works really well is to identify the items and how they relate to the strategy in some sort of easy to get way. For example, color coding. So in product plan, the default template that we have has a legend to it, and the legend can be color coded. And then you can create, each color represents a certain strategic theme. And then that can be, kind of tied to each one of the initiatives. So that's a good best practice, is to be able to tie together the roadmap to the strategy.
Okay. And make that connection. And often that's one of our headaches in product management in general, right? We may be doing well to even have our innovation or product management strategy as a group kind of put together. And that's a stretch for a lot of groups. And then having connections back to that, so it's aligned with the organizational strategy, is a whole other thing. Right. And so a simple example is I've ran into product managers who they're just passionate about creating new to the world products. Right. That's what they want to find the next undiscovered problem and solve it.
Yes.
And they spend some of their time looking at that. And occasionally they stumble across something, as we all do. And we go, let's dive into that. But yet the organization itself might be more of a fast follower company, where they say, we know our customers really well. We see what's going on in the marketplace, and we're going to do the next best thing for them. And those are two different kind of approaches, right? Mm-hmm. And I like as you've talked through this at a minimum helps to create some of the conversations to see how are we aligning with strategic objectives and what we're doing with our product and our product roadmap for the next period of time.
Exactly. And sometimes it's up to the product manager to guide the executive team to those strategic objectives, because if the executive team doesn't have them, or maybe it changes quarter to quarter, I think that's part of the responsibility of the product manager to guide them through that process, not to determine it, but to guide them through the process, to facilitate it.
Yeah. And I just kind of as a side question, the examples we've been talking about so far are like e-commerce, or software sort of examples.
Sure.
Roadmaps get used in all kinds of industries. And I assume you have customers that are using roadmaps in non-software environments too, right? Consumer products, hardware, other things.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Companies like Alaska Airlines is a customer of ours, and they use us extensively for not just their mobile apps and their website, but also their internal systems, of which they have many. And so all of those internal IT organizations have a need for a product roadmap as well. And they have their internal stakeholders to communicate with. So, absolutely. I think, in a sense, any company is a software company. Any company today has internal, you know, internal tools and software that needs to be managed and built. Mm-hmm. They have external websites, maybe mobile apps. And so, you know, it's really I think what we're talking about today is not just for software companies.
Right. Even something like toothpaste, right? I love these consumer good product mm-hmm. stories. You know, yeah. Toothpaste, if I was the product manager of a toothpaste line, I'd want to have a roadmap to help me organize. You know, now we have an improvement to our whitening formula coming out in 6 months, and then we're going to have
sure.
something that does a better job of fighting against cavities and, you know, things that we know are in our pipeline, and how are they going to make it into our consumer products?
Exactly. Yeah.
Good. Mm. What about some horror stories? You know, when product roadmapping goes bad and things don't work out well, I always like identifying those things because that helps people think about, oh, well, how do I avoid that and what can I do instead?
Right. Yeah.
Have you seen any examples?
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard the typical stories. So people bring up the strategy changing, right? Mm. And they don't know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. You know, I have heard stories about the product roadmap getting, not our product roadmap, but getting stapled to a contract.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
And that's, you know, that's really hard for a product manager to monitor. And, you know, these are just the things that happen. I think those would fall into the camp of horror stories.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of healthy discussion around how to use roadmaps and kind of confidentiality to place around them, right? And this varies greatly. Mm-hmm. I think this is an aspect of the culture. Personal experience, recently I was looking into learning management systems. For the e-courses that I provide. And so with my university teacher hat on, I know about a lot of learning management systems that I'd rather not know about, but I have simpler needs for my e-courses. And I went to the one I had been using, and I asked if they could share their roadmap for what's coming up. Mm-hmm. And really what was behind my question was I had not seen them do anything for a while. And I mm-hmm. wanted to know if they had anything planned, right? And the response was, well, every time we've published a roadmap, our competitors take advantage of it. Okay, so that's one position. To me, that uh-huh. kind of suggests that you're not keeping up fast enough with your market. But indeed, their key competitor, who I was interested in, had a public roadmap that I could contribute to, right? And so they did the Kanban type approach, and I could put suggestions on there, and they would move it through in terms of priority. And it was real clear what they were working on. And frankly, uh-huh. as a customer, that gave me a lot more comfort in terms of their future. And that this is a company that's actually growing where I think I need to go too, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that makes some product managers really uncomfortable about the idea of having a public roadmap. And certainly doesn't make sense all the time by any means. I'm not advocating for that. But there's a healthy discussion to have around this, right?
I completely agree. And I'm really glad you brought this up. One of our customers is gov.uk. And they... hundreds of people are responsible for managing this website that aggregates together the websites of hundreds of governmental organizations in the UK, and they get millions of visitors every year. And they have published their roadmap publicly. Mm-hmm. There are so many benefits of doing this. And you know, this is a little bit of a special case because it is the government by its nature should be transparent, right? And this is one way of demonstrating that transparency is by showing what are we changing on gov.uk. And so they actually publish their roadmap using Product Plan, mm-hmm. and it's available on the web. And I think that product managers can learn from that. I think there are opportunities to publish your roadmap publicly that benefits your customers, and you don't necessarily need to be a governmental organization to make that happen. So there is a very healthy debate happening right now mm-hmm. around that. You know, understand why a product manager would not want to do that. I fall into the camp, and you know, I'm in a company that has competitors where, you know, everybody is very early stage, everybody's right. moving very quickly. And so, you know, I don't necessarily want to telegraph what I'm going to be doing, you know, mm-hmm. too far ahead of time. We're more than happy to share our roadmap with customers over the short term, these things that we know that we'll be releasing. But I think there is a lot of benefit to that for many organizations.
Yeah, at least have some mechanism to make it easier to get that input is you know, product managers want that. We might be a little cautious that we don't want to just listen to customers because, you know, this is the old adage that of Henry Ford, if I ask for a faster horse, I would, I mean, if I ask for a, now I'm completely drawing a blank.
If I had asked customers what they wanted,
they would say a faster horse.
Yes.
There we go. Which actually wasn't his quote, but I love the idea, right?
Right.
The, it fits so well. And certainly Apple doesn't do this. You know, Apple doesn't have a roadmap of where they're going published or anything. So it does fit the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a worthwhile conversation to have probably internally too about how we're using roadmaps and who should have access to them.
Mm-hmm.
So some good pointers there on when roadmaps can go bad. And we kind of hit on this a little bit earlier in terms of different views of roadmaps that you might want to have different levels of detail based on your audience, right?
Yes.
And one of the cautions there was that does give you some wiggle room too as a product manager to, you know, be able to not have to be tracking specific details, but maybe higher level themes and respond to your audience better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I generally, a good product roadmap is not at the story level. A good product roadmap really is more at, you bring it up to that epic level. So if you're an agile organization and you're working in epics and stories, it really should be at that epic level. Otherwise, if you're at the story level, that really is a product roadmap that's more like a project plan. You know, that's more project management where you're managing the details. And, you know, a good product roadmap brings it up a level where it's not project management oriented. You're really not looking at man hours, delivery dates, things like that. You're looking at the bigger picture of what are we going to be delivering over this month or this quarter.
It's like a classic leadership tool versus a management tool, right? It really is providing a picture of the vision of where we're going. The project management is how, you know, what are the details, how we get there.
Yeah, how do you execute on that vision?
Yeah. Good. When it comes to actually building these, we mentioned before, you know, some different ways of doing this. I had to use Microsoft Project, people use Excel. I typically would take mine out of Project and redo them in PowerPoint because that gave me a way to make them look a little bit cleaner for certain audiences.
Mm-hmm.
There's pros and cons of this, and I'm sure your customer base has shared these with you. So what have you ran into?
Yeah. So, well, the negatives about using a static tool like PowerPoint is that, one, you're spending a lot of time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and during our market validation for product plan, we discovered that early on, that product managers, because this is their opportunity to, you know, show what they're doing, it's their opportunity to shine, they're spending an inordinate amount of time making these things look good. And so that's one of the values of product plan is that it frees up that time. You're not spending as much time in a template trying to move things around and get them to look just right. But beyond that, you know, it creates this static document and then the roadmap changes. And now you're doing the thing all over again. Or maybe you're creating different versions of that PowerPoint presentation that gets sent around. And so, you know, one of the benefits of a web-based product roadmap product is that you're not needing to reinvent the wheel every time. It's not the 2016 product roadmap and then you have a separate 2017 product roadmap. It's the product roadmap and you just so happen to shift the dates, right? So that people are viewing what's happening now. So it's a real, you know, I think that PowerPoint is fine if you need to be creating an investor deck, right? Or you're presenting to the company once per year. But if you're, you know, if you're moving quickly and, you know, priorities are shifting, to be redoing that presentation every month or however long your meeting is just using up time that can be used for other things, like thinking.
We never have enough time, right? And we want to, if we have any extra time, we want to be spending it with customers, getting to understand their problems more and not doing this kind of, this admin sort of work and just maintaining slides. Certainly.
Yeah. And
I was just going to mention, I know we mentioned this before, but as you were describing that too, you know, the Q3 2016 version and the Q4 2016 version.
Right.
This is a painful story, I'm sure, for many people that are listening. Is that these versions get sent around and people look at the wrong one and we just get off page with each other.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The other benefit of you know, of not using PowerPoint is that a lot of people start with they open up PowerPoint as this blank sheet. Mm-hmm. And for so many product managers, maybe they're new, they're novice product managers, maybe they're, you know, associate product managers, or maybe they were a project manager being thrown into the product manager role. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people, we see this every day, a lot of product managers are looking for best practices. They're looking for, you know, where do I start? How do I do this? What are other companies doing? So one of the advantages of software, product roadmap software, is that it gives you that best practice, right, in a sense. It's still very, right, flexible depending on your organization and product and so on, but it gives you a place to start versus that blank PowerPoint screen or the blank Excel spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. So that's another advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a standard that others are using, and I love templates.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. And we've done a good job talking about road mapping and some how to get started with that, some things to avoid, and some of the advantages of your tool, a web-based SaaS type approach. And as we always wrap up towards the end of interviews, I like to ask my guests for an innovation quote. What quote did you bring, and why did you choose that one? And we just had a slight technical issue with our audio dropping out. So back to ask you about an innovation quote, one that you love, and share also why you chose that one to share with us.
Absolutely. One of my favorite quotes is from Steve Blank, and he said that there are no facts inside the building. And the reason I love that is that it encourages product managers and entrepreneurs to get out from their desk, mm-hmm, and get out in front of customers, because that's where you learn the truth. He said that in his book, Four Steps to the Epiphany, which is how to build a scalable startup. And the reason I love that is that, in so many organizations, the executive team or maybe the product team sits around the conference room table and then deems what is the right thing to build. Mm-hmm. And, that may or may not be the right thing, right, to build. And so I think it's really imperative for product managers to spend time engaging with customers, to get out from behind the desk, which for a lot of folks is their comfort zone, and to engage with customers. And, it might be through, products like Skype and GoToMeeting, and, it might be a simple phone call. But I believe that actually, engaging with customers face-to-face, especially if you're in business-to-business, is really the best way to understand what the facts are. Mm-hmm. So that's the quote that I love.
It's a great quote. I love Steve Blank's work. That was the precursor to what Eric Ries did with Lean Startup, and mm-hmm, so much to be learned there. I just think Steve Blank makes such great contributions for us as product managers, as well as startup founders.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing that quote. And maybe roadmaps can be another tool for creating conversations with customers too.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Absolutely.
To wrap up, I want to make sure that people know how to find out about your resources. I'll certainly provide the link to the templates you mentioned, but just can you share a little summary of Product Plan and how it helps with roadmaps?
Sure. Product Plan is web-based product roadmap software. We have a variety of customers all over the world, a variety of sizes, using our software to communicate their product strategy to executives and stakeholders. And people can sign up for a no-risk 30-day trial. There's no credit card required. They just go to productplan.com and can sign up for a trial. It's very low pressure. We do have a lot of resources available for product managers to understand how to create great product roadmaps. In fact, we earlier this year wrote a book on product roadmaps. It's a book that you can download, and it's a very authoritative, long book about developing your strategy, prioritizing what gets on the product roadmap, and then actually some examples of what different product roadmaps look like. And you can download that book at productplan.com/book.
Okay.
And then we also do have resources for product managers too, about how to be a product manager. You can find that on productplan.com/learn.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
And those are good resources. I'm so glad to hear about your book, and that will be a good tool for listeners too. And I'll have to check out the things on productplan/learn, productplan.com/learn, and see what you got there for product managers also. Jim, thanks for sharing your expertise and some time with us today.
You're welcome, Chad. It was really fun.
Thank you for listening. I bet you know other product managers that would benefit from this podcast, and so I've made it easy for you to share it. Just go to theeverydayinnovator.com/094. That's where you'll see the show notes for the discussion with Jim. And at the top of the notes, you'll find the links to share on your favorite social media site. I really appreciate you doing that. Also, this is where you'll find the Product Mastery Roadmap. It shows you how to go from product manager to product master. Keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to Product Innovation Training Your Customers Will Love You For. To learn more, please check out the blog at theeverydayinnovator.com. Keep innovating.